This is Toon Talk Weekly, episode 276. This week, Brad and I get our fantasy role-playing on when we watch an episode of 1983's Dungeons & Dragons.
Tonight is the celebration in the village of Helix. You will journey to the north for it. There you may find something that will help you get back home. Helix was once at the mercy of flying dragons who attacked at night, but good magic drove them away. Now, on your way, you must fear only the many faces of evil, all known as Venger. You shall know his newest face by his white hair. Beware, young adventurers.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Toon Talk Weekly. This is the weekly cartoon podcast where we chat all about cartoons. Well, a different cartoon every single week. Not about every cartoon all the time. I'm Jake Williams. Brought along Brad Chmielewski this week. What's up, man?
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well. No different. I was like, Brad, let's do this again.
Yeah, every cartoon, who knows? I don't know how long we have. Yeah.
So let's start in the A's with Real Monsters and... Mm-hmm. There's probably an Aardvark show before that, so I'm already behind, you know.
Right.
How you been, man?
Yeah, it's been been excellent over here. I caught up on a little more Hilda. Mm-hmm. Haven't made it too much farther, but a couple episodes in.
Yeah, I even randomly this morning had a friend text me to make sure that I'd seen Hilda. Like, that's how much everyone keeps talking about it, which is pretty great.
Wow. I, like, penetrated the, the culture very hard.
Which is good. You know, that doesn't happen all the time, so it's good to finally see it happening again here. Mm-hmm. I still need to get back into more of it, and pretty soon here, once I'm all moved out and I don't have any of my stuff, all I'm going to have is my iPad, so it's I'm probably going to have all the time in the world.
What I did watch, besides this cartoon that we're going to talk about, Dungeons & Dragons, Big Mouth Season 2 started up, I've dived into a bunch of those episodes.
Yeah. I never kept going with that show. Like, I enjoyed... kind of how like crude it was, I guess is the best way to put it, but I think you have to like really like Nick Kroll to want to keep watching the show.
And it's tough to watch like multiple of that show because it is very crude, so you start to just it gets a little gross after a while. Like, all right, I don't know if I can hear about boners much longer.
That's, I think when I think of the who's the monster, that's like his
the hormone monster.
The hormone guy. Like, when I think about him, I get super grossed out, and I don't want anything to do with the show. but this week, it's going to be a little bit more wholesome than that. We're talking about the 1983 series Dungeons & Dragons. This is kind of funny, because we actually, when we were picking out cartoons, for some reason, we stumbled upon a bunch of dragon-related shows. Right. And this was actually Brad's recommendation, because I've actually been, you know, talking about my... first D&D campaign ever that's still ongoing. It was supposed to only last like 4 sessions. We're on like session 9.
And this wasn't my recommendation because I had seen this show or I knew about this show. It was strictly like, hey, Jake is playing Dungeons & Dragons. Let's watch this.
Yeah. So now we're here. Of course, Dungeons & Dragons, you might have known from the actual game, the role-playing tabletop game. The cartoon's actually based on TSR's game, the same exact game. I didn't know who TSR was. That's how recently I've been playing Dungeons & Dragons. That company was actually purchased by Wizards of the Coast in 1997. Wizards of the Coast, makers of all kinds of tabletop and card games, but I always think of them as the makers of the Pokemon cards. So,
Now, we dabbled a little in our Dungeons & Dragons talk when we watched Harmon Quest with Ethan, but I think we more talked about Dan Harmon and that whole show rather than what Dungeons & Dragons is.
Yeah, the idea of like a role-playing show and that kind of thing. And I think that was over, man, we talked about that show over a year ago. The craziest part is like just how many Dungeons & Dragons podcasts there are now that are interesting. It's like if you like the group of people you know, a group of podcast hosts or YouTube hosts, they can just do their version of a D&D like podcast. But I think stuff like the McElroy brothers at the Adventure Zone got people really into the idea of like, oh, we could listen to someone's D&D campaign, which, by the way, way less stressful than actually playing. Yeah. But what's interesting about them is that, a little bit of a tangent, thinking about how people act in their D&D podcast, which is like performance of the RPG game plus performance for the podcast, so it's like amped up, I think. I feel like that flavors, that influences how people go play the actual D&D game because they heard or saw someone else do it. I don't think that's a bad thing necessarily. I think it's actually probably a good thing if you know, this was my first campaign I'm currently on, and
yeah.
I didn't know how to play. So I listened to a bunch of podcasts to hear what people did in certain situations. And I was like, okay, like I kind of get the rules and that kind of thing. And so kind of interesting that they're all out. So this is not our version of a Dungeons and Dragons podcast. We're just literally talking about the cartoon from the 80s.
So what's your, before we dive in the cartoon, as we're talking about the other Dungeons and Dragons stuff, like what's the reason that there's so much of it right now? Is it because I had know you're playing and I know a little bit that's happening, so it feels like it's everywhere, or is it everywhere right now?
Well, it's the same reason where, remember, for a while we would just play board games. Like, you own a pretty big collection of like interesting board games, and for a while there were shows started, like Tabletop was a big one where people just played different games and that kind of thing. And I think Dungeons and Dragons now is past the point of being, you know, you're in your mom's basement, like sweaty dudes eating chips and Cheetos and stuff, playing this game with your friends. I think it's more of like people understand that it's just a fantasy role-playing thing. It's literally a performance of a story, and you interact with that story kind of thing. As for why it suddenly got popular, I think it's just a new, interesting escape, honestly. You, as the character who get to be along with it, like the people who are performing for these podcasts, you kind of get to live their adventure with them. And it's not an adventure that you see coming. It's like a little bit of improv. So that part's fun. Plus, I really do think, like, I don't know if it was the first one, but the Adventure Zone podcast, like, people are nuts about. Like, I've never been able to, like, fully get into the McElroy Brothers stuff, but that podcast is already, like, I think they're starting another adventure or have already started another adventure. So it's,
I wonder if Stranger Things had a little impact on that, 'cause they were playing Dungeons and Dragons in there, and, a little bit of the whole, storyline that has Dungeons and Dragons stuff, and they reference it a little bit.
Yeah.
So
no, for sure. And I think though, like, of the Dungeons and Dragons, like, adaptation type of stuff I've seen, I still think Harmony Quest is some of the most fun. It's definitely highly produced and edited, but I love the animated segments because it helps you see how the characters have questions about their environment and what they're doing. We, for the first 6 weeks of our campaign, didn't have a map. So I was like scribbling maps to like have an idea of like, oh, how could I hit that guy from here? Like, can I get through this door? Like that kind of thing. So,
okay.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting. But the cartoon from 1983, it also ran until 1985, three seasons, 27 episodes, one unproduced episode, apparently. It was written but never produced. Created by Kevin Paul Coates, Dennis Marks, and Takashi. Co-production of Marvel Productions and TSR. The show ran on CBS. And is it Toei Animation? They said I've heard of them before, but they did the animation for the series.
So they have to be super nerds here, because if they produced a Dungeons and Dragons show in the 80s, they were playing it for years, and they were like, this is going to be a great idea.
Right.
Oh, no.
Yeah, because I'm not sure when Dungeons and Dragons became a thing. Obviously before this, but like the audience must have been so narrow, or it could have been wide, but nobody talked about it because it was a thing where, like, if you played D&D, you were a nerd. Nerds weren't cool in the 80s, right? Now it's just stuff people are into. I think there's no label for it anymore. The fact that some members of the WWE have a D&D podcast show that, like, you can be, like, athlete guy plus also play in this, like, fantasy improv game. So I think it just crosses cultures kind of interestingly.
Cool.
Also, another thing that might have changed to make it more popular is what we were talking about. They released a recent edition. Like, there's an update to some of the rules in the last couple of years, I think. And I think that probably made it easier for people to get involved. It's super easy to get involved with the initial adventure.
Neat. Okay.
So the story of the cartoon, much like you would in D&D, where you have a dungeon master who sort of guides you through a story he's crafted or he's reading from. And then you, the player, the adventurers, take on roles of familiar fantasy archetypes. So you got, you know, barbarians and archers and wizards and that sort of thing. Thieves or thieves. Those sorts of things are here as well. But in the cartoon world, it's essentially that a group of six friends are transported to the realm of Dungeons and Dragons, and they're just basically trying to get home. That's their main thing. I believe they were transported. I think that doesn't the theme song or like the intro like tell you how they get there?
Oh, I don't remember.
I'm fairly certain they took some sort of they were at some like carnival or some amusement park, and they took a like a roller coaster and ended up in this world. But in this world, they take on those familiar archetypes. You've got Hank the Ranger, Eric the Cavalier, Diana the Acrobat, Presto the Magician, Sheila the Thief, Bobby the Barbarian, and Uni the Unicorn, of course. And then they also have a character who shows up from time to time, who is simply known as Dungeon Master. And he takes on the role of what you would expect a Dungeon Master to be in the game of Dungeons & Dragons. He just kind of shows up and maybe gives you a little bit of a clue as to what's going on in the situation you're in, or maybe where you should probably head. But then disappears because the Dungeon Master is sort of just narrating the story or helping facilitate the story. He's not part of it.
Okay.
Which is kind of interesting. You've also got a couple of villains, two of which we'll talk about in today's episode. You have Vengar, the force of evil, the main like evil villain dude. And you have Tiamat, who's a dragon, like a five-headed elemental dragon who has like an electric head and an ice head and a fire head and all this cool stuff.
Okay.
So I think for this week, Brad, you and I watched basically the pilot called The Night of No Tomorrow. And what's interesting about the pilot is that it's, like I said, I think it only talks about how they got into the worlds of Dungeons & Dragons in the opening credits. I don't think they talk about it in the actual thing. They're just sort of in the adventure.
Yeah, it's a terrible first episode because they could be day one or they could be day 500 here.
Yeah. They don't make it seem like they throw you right into an initial situation, which is that Tiamat the dragon shows up, right? And they have to sort of like deal with like how do you fake him out? They do get to use some of their powers here where one of the girls like performs an invisibility spell to trick the dragon to go back into the hole so that the barbarian can knock down a boulder to like collapse and trap him back in his cave. But yeah, it just seems like they've already been here for a very long time because they also all seem, aside from Presto the magician, they all seem very comfortable with their powers and abilities as they have it. So it makes me feel like they've been trapped in this world for a long time because there's moments later where Diana, the acrobat, like does a full flip over like a moat of clouds because she just suddenly knows how to do this. Or maybe I'm taking it for granted some. It's not that they're new. Like once you're transported to the realm, you're just that role.
Right. Except for the magician who is really bad at it.
Yeah. Oh, which reminds me, I actually need to send this cartoon to my dungeon master because I, in my campaign, am a magician who is very bad at magic. I roll high initiative to like attack first or to make the attack happen. And then when I go to roll damage or success chance, I just whiff every single time, like without fail. I don't know the last time I successfully casted a spell.
Oh, okay. So this is it's the actual thing that could happen. You could be a bad magician.
Right. I took it in this episode that Presto was sort of just learning, but I guess we'll get into why he's pretty important. So that initial thing where they're messing with Tiamat, the dragon, they finally hide him away. They're kind of going up this mountain to see if they can see stuff. It's sort of that video game thing where like you climb a mountain to see where you're supposed to go next, right? They're still trying to find their way home here. And a dungeon master shows up and basically gives them a clue that they should go to this town called Helix, where like 1,000 years ago, the great magician Merlin actually scared off all of the dragons and made it a town, but that you should go to Helix because there's some clues there that might help you get home.
Okay.
Along the way, they find a couple of signs that say, this way to Merlin's castle, this way to Merlin's castle. And they're like, oh, where could it be? Oh, you guys didn't look up, did you? It's in the clouds. Like, yeah.
I was just going to think it was like, it was hidden because it was magic.
Right. And for some reason, I don't think of Merlin in a castle. I don't know what I think of Merlin living in. But
I
wasn't.
Well, I picture him like Sword in the Stone, kind of like he's just in like a shack in the woods.
I guess. I was thinking more like a wizard's sanctum, like a more like glorious kind of like glass churchy type of place, not like a giant castle in the sky. But nonetheless, they need to get up there. They're not sure how. And a golden glowing ladder shows up. And they're like, oh, sweet, rope ladder. Let's get up there.
Well, according to these signs, it should be right here. I don't get it.
I do. We forgot to look up.
Wow! He lives in a castle in the sky?
Where'd you expect Merlin to live? Well, before Merlin can help us get home, someone's going to have to help us get to Merlin.
Hey, look! A ladder!
Everyone, follow me.
Finally, we're going to meet a real wizard.
Face it, Uni. As a wizard, I'm no whiz.
It's so funny how there are moments that happen in the show that maybe because I've played and seen other D&D things, I was watching this cartoon as if picturing players doing this in a real game.
Yeah, that's good.
So like, oh, the castle's up there. Well, what could we do? Like, oh, like somebody could roll something and a nearby ladder fell down or something. I don't know, some stuff like that. Or even like here, once we get up here, there's a moat, a sky moat here, basically no water, but a big hole in the clouds. And the acrobat can flip over it, but you would have to roll a success chance to actually make that happen. So it's kind of interesting watching the show that way. We meet Merlin. And Brad, what do you think of Merlin right off the bat here?
It did feel like there was something off of him, but he didn't seem like what you would expect Merlin to be, I guess. Like, and the weird joke about like he can't grow any hair was kind of like unnecessary, I guess.
Yeah, I thought his character design, like his eyes initially just looked too evil compared to the design of all the other kids.
Which we do find out the reason for that.
Yeah. I guess really this first initial meeting with Merlin is that he's kind of just up there and they're sort of learning a little bit more about the town of Helix. And when Merlin, helps scare away all the dragons from the town to save all the people, Tiamat, the dragon, does show up. And so Merlin, I feel like Merlin was busy casting a spell or working on something. And so they had to protect him, while they hid this dragon away, which dude, their solution twice was like lock the dragon out with one of those giant barricades. He breaks through that. Then he falls in a hole. They lock him again. Also a giant barricade. How many giant barricades on giant doors in there in this castle?
I know. But, you know, the one in the basement, that one held. Which just reminds me of the episode we recently watched where they locked the bear in 7D. They locked the bear in the basement.
Yeah. So kind of an interesting solution here. But then Merlin has an alternative here. He says Presto is kind of down on himself. He's not good at magic, and he wants to learn. And of course, Merlin is the best you could possibly ever learn from, the best teacher here. But the barter would be that he needs to stay for his entire life. He can't leave. And the kids think that, well, no, he wants to go home. There's no way he would stay. But of course, we learn that Presto decides, I'm actually going to stay. I think I could learn. And the rest of the group heads off to Helix. So while we're at the castle, you recall what happens here, Brad? Why? What happens with Presto and Merlin?
So what, Presto mixes a bad spell, or he looks in the book and he decides like, oh, there's all the answers are in the book and I'm going to find the answer to take us home.
Mm-hmm.
And he, I don't know, mixes a bunch of stuff. You know, he's a bad magician, so I don't know why he like even thought this was a good idea. And whatever, like the spell got mixed or the ingredients got all mixed up and it unleashed a bunch of dragons.
Yeah. Well, it was Merlin who said, I reversed the spells. Like he put in the book the wrong ingredients to the wrong spell. He swapped them. And why would Merlin do that?
Dun, dun,
dun. Because he's Vengar, the force of evil, and not Merlin at all.
So, you were trying to create a spell that would get you and your friends back home, correct?
Yes, and I'm sorry. but the dragons.
Ah, yes, the dragons. I switched the spells. Only good magic could undo Merlin's spell and release the dragons. So I had to trick you into undoing Merlin's spell.
But you're Merlin, aren't you?
Merlin hasn't lived for 1,000 years. Fool! You know me as Venger!
Oh, no!
There's a little bit of back and forth in the way the story is told here, because the group in Helix is talking to some of the townspeople, and they mention, oh, we just came from Merlin's. And they're like, he's been dead for 1,000 years, man. It's like the anniversary of no dragons in this town. And that's when they realize, oh, no, presto.
Yeah, that was just such a weird thing. Like, oh, he's been dead forever. What?
Yeah. You know, I don't know where... It seems like it's just general Dungeons & Dragons world, general fantasy world. So I guess Merlin could be there. But I was already caught off guard that Merlin was a character in this world to begin with. For some reason, but
oh really?
Yeah. So and the remainder of the episode is essentially Merlin Vengar here being super excited that, well, more dragons are going to attack this town, and you did it for me. I wasn't able to do it, some sort of spell that he couldn't get past or something, so I needed a complete novice to screw it up for him. But the remainder of the episode is essentially the gang stopping the dragons once again from attacking this town. And I actually think that Presto is, can't quite recall what his solution was, if it was casting another spell, but he essentially becomes the one that does that, and now he's a hero. Presto is now the hero, not just Merlin, in this town of Helix. So
yeah, I guess I didn't really catch that when it happened. Like, I saw that they released the other dragon from the basement. Presto's in the corner cowering, and then all of a sudden the dragon is fighting the villain, and he's like, I'll get you kids next time. And then they're in the city, like, oh, it was Presto who did it. I was like, what the hell, little jerk? He caused this problem, and then he was cowering in the corner. So I missed when he made a spell and saved the day.
Yeah, it was a Scooby-Doo ending, right? Which, you know, honestly, the show has a lot of humor in it. It definitely knows it's in the fantasy world, and... but I think it's also pandering to a younger audience, right? Probably at the time that would watch this in the mornings. So kind of an interesting take on the idea of Dungeons & Dragons. We didn't go further, but honestly, the formula here is kind of interesting. And I think that the arc of them trying to get home is probably what keeps you there. It's kind of like, what was that show we watched? It wasn't Billy Dilly. I watched a show recently where somebody crashed on some planet and they were stuck
Planet Sheen?
I mean, it might have been Planet Sheen. No, they, I can't remember the cartoon. Maybe they drilled to some other dimension.
That was Billy Dilly.
Yeah, okay, maybe it was Billy Dilly.
Drilled to the center of the earth.
Yeah. So, so what's interesting is, though, the unaired episode, the 28th episode, was actually written to, like, end the story. So the series ended with no ending. Like, they were supposed to tie it up nice, and the kids were going to get home or something. And I think that they, apparently it's been, I think it's been read as an audio drama somewhere. Like, the script is out there. So they've done various, like, on DVD editions, you can, like, listen to the audio drama of what the episode would have been, which is kind of fun.
I guess.
Well, what do you think of the show, man?
I'm not really into Dungeons & Dragons, and I have mentioned before, like, fantasy worlds aren't really my thing. But the cartoon was, like, straight up 80s. Mm-hmm. It's fine, but I feel like you have to go in knowing at least a little bit about Dungeons & Dragons. Like, a small amount. You don't have to know how it works. You have to know the archetypes, and you have to know that there's this basically... dungeon master that can pop up sometimes. So the barrier, I feel like, to entry in the 80s was probably a little higher than it is now. Mm-hmm. But, like, it's just like, I don't care about these kids getting stuck here. I don't know. Are people at home looking for them? I have no invested interest in their adventure, I guess.
Right. And the interesting thing about D&D is that everyone's adventure is going to be a little bit different.
Yeah.
Even though, for instance, we mentioned all the D&D podcasts at the top of the show, lots of them start with the what's known as the can't recall the name of the adventure or the title, but it's essentially the introductory adventure to D&D. Lots of people do that, but everybody plays it differently because you can have different characters, different personality types, you know, that kind of thing. Like, for instance, in ours, the beverage Mr. Pibb is like a holy beverage to us. I don't know why. It's just that's somehow gotten into our story. So it's gotten weird.
Okay. But what do you think of it as someone who now plays Dungeons & Dragons?
Yeah, I thought it was fine. There's a lot of parallels to the way that some of my friends and I are playing and the way our characters are. For instance, Bobby the Barbarian is a small kid who is, you know, just wants to smash stuff. He doesn't care. We have a guy like that in our group. We call him Stone Cold Steve Austin for obvious reasons, because essentially his answer to anything is not diplomacy. It's literally to smash things as quickly as he can. He has a kill counter. Like, we have never tried to reason with anybody. We always just fight them. So I can see the obvious archetypes playing out, which is kind of interesting. But like I said, I watched it thinking that the show itself is fine. I mean, it's typical 80s fare. I don't think there's anything terrific about it or special about it. But I felt like I was watching it as if I was playing D&D. Like, oh, he would have had to roll there, and that's why his spell didn't cast, or that kind of thing. So
it's a little more fun for you. Would you continue watching it, or would you rather just play the game, right?
I don't think I need to. Plus, I think now with like modern rules and things, I think there's, in terms of your entertainment time or dollar, I think there are very much better examples and more fun examples or entertaining examples of D&D that you can listen to. And I think the sort of like play podcasts are probably some of my favorite stuff.
Okay.
So yeah. So it's been fun checking out D&D. Brad, this is technically like your first time playing, I guess.
I guess so, yeah.
Anyway, let's get out of here. Where can people find out more about you when you're not recording Toon Talk Weekly?
So you can follow me on Twitter. It's @brad, and then my blog is digitalhitchhiker.com.
Great. Guys, go check them out over there. You can follow me on Twitter @JacobWilliams, or, of course, Toon Talk Weekly. We're all over the place. Instagram, Facebook, Google+, YouTube, all that good stuff. Twitter, @ToonTalkWeekly, ToonTalkWeekly@gmail.com. as well as ToonTalkWiki.com for any and all episodes up to this point. That's going to do it for this week's episode. And next week's episode, also going to be focused on dragons. So we got dragons on the brain.
Nice.
We'll
be back. No dungeons.
No dungeons. Yeah, zero dungeons at all. It's an Air Force base instead. We'll be back next week with another cartoon.
Take care.
About the show, visit ToonTalkWeekly.com or follow us on Twitter @ToonTalkWeekly.